You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today. I'm the senior pastor here at this church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here in the name of Jesus. Thank you. And all of us here at Island Community Church, this awesome church family, greet you here today on this Thursday. Thanks for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday to join me as we together study the Word of God. We sit under the authority of the Word of God. That's why you always can experience the presence of God when you come to this church, because we sit under the authority of the Word and we do what He says. And that's always worked out to me. It's been a pretty good formula of how to guarantee that you'll experience the presence of God, get your prayers answered, get healed of various sicknesses and diseases. When you sit under the Word of God and do what He says, God still heals people today. We've had people here that have been healed of some serious sicknesses. Because I believe, I don't blow our own horn, we sit under the Word of God, we do what He says, and God is a healing God. He still speaks today through His Word. He's always speaking. He always has a word for you. Hence the name of this radio show, WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. We're going to tune into His frequency now. Let's tune in our knobs and dials. Lord God, we praise You. Lord, we magnify Your name together here. We ask for your blessings now on this broadcast here today. Bless the preaching and teaching of Your word. Speak to us where we know that You speak. In Your word, we listen for Your voice. You promised, Lord, we pray Your word back to You. You promised us a blessing if we've got ears to hear and if we keep the things written here in this book. We listen for Your voice now. Help us to be doers of Your word and not just hearers either. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in the book of Revelation. Prior to getting started on that, I invite you guys to church this weekend. We're in a five-week series in Moses. We just started last week. If you missed that, the audio and podcast is available on our Facebook page. Or if you have an iPhone, there's a built-in app. It's called Podcast. It's a purple app on your phone or on your iPad. I encourage you to subscribe to our podcasts and by searching for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. You'll find it right there on Apple. It's on Spotify. Download that. Then these programs will appear right there on your phone. Some people drive away, further away, and that are out of the range of WMIE. But if you download the app, then you can listen in anytime. Also, you could download the app for the radio stations, WWBC and WMIE, and you can listen on demand to this radio program. Hey, there's no more important thing, really. It's the only book out of 66 that God calls you blessed if you read, if you listen to, and if you follow the words written in this book. Most assuredly, in the book of Revelation, know and understand, don't be deceived. This first rider that we've looked at that got initiated in heaven is riding on a white horse. Now, I don't think you're going to be able to see that because I think it's an angelic being. And the Lord Jesus comes riding on a white horse. So you better know the word of God. You see, this is why He calls you blessed. If you know and take to heart, believe God at His word, know and understand the book of Revelation. That with this first rider, when we read here, when the Lord Jesus loosens this seal, one of these four living beings calls out, He says, I heard the voice of one of the four living beings. I heard one of the four living beings saying like a voice of thunder, come. That's Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. So don't be deceived. This is not the Son of God. He doesn't come back until the end of this. Chapter 19. He doesn't come back now. Don't be deceived. Then also, the second horse and second rider here is verse 3. When John writes, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living being say, come. Now, notice here that he's talking to the horse and rider, not talking to John. Most translations say, come and see. At least the New King James and the King James says that. But if you have like a New American Standard or ESV or some other translation, most Greek manuscripts don't have that phrase, come and see. It just says, come. So if that reading is right, then he's talking to the rider. He's not talking to John to just look. He's calling the rider and the horse out to initiate and start this plan to start the tribulation. The first rider has been sent out to conquer. The second rider, verse 3. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living being say, come. And another horse went out, fiery red, and it was granted to him that sat on it to take peace from the earth so that they might kill each other. And it was given to him a great sword. All right, so the first rider sets out to conquest. The second rider initiates and brings war. He was given a great sword, and he takes peace from the earth. This is what brings war, a lack of peace. If you don't have any peace, war ensues. For us Christians, we've got the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, and he is the great dispenser of peace. If you need peace, go to him. He's promised to give you peace. That's John 14, 27. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace. And that's the only kind of peace that I want is the peace that comes from Jesus Christ. How about you? The peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that enables me to get through any kind of trial or sickness or anything that I'm going through in the world is the peace that comes from Jesus Christ. Now, don't let this fool here and this rider take yours. He can't take your peace. Don't let anyone else take it, for that matter. Don't let anyone take it. Remember, Jesus said, don't let anyone steal your crown. So I'd say to you, don't let anyone take your peace as well. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's John 14, 27. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. So don't let anyone take yours, because this man here is going to take peace. And this is what happens in the world when no one has peace. War ensues. See, when you have the peace of Jesus Christ, then you can say like the Apostle Paul, who says, if God is for me, who can be against me? If you have the peace of Jesus Christ, then you understand, you realize that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. When you have the peace of Jesus Christ, you understand that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No one else, the world doesn't have this, only those that call on the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone out there who has received him, you've got something these 6 billion people out here don't have. You have the peace that surpasses all understanding. You have what it takes to get through trials like these Christians in the first century that got dipped in oil and they got lit on fire to light Nero's little playground. and the Christians that they fed to the lions. Jesus Christ is the great dispenser of peace. When you have this peace, you understand you're more than a conqueror. When you have this peace, you understand that there is no created thing, neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor any created thing can separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. When you have the peace of Christ, you can endure all things. When you have the peace of Jesus Christ, you understand that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is the peace of God. The peace of Jesus Christ helps you to endure all things. When you don't have these things, then this rider here on this horse is going to influence you. Now let's move on here to this next one. This is verse 5. Now, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living being saying, "Come." And behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living beings saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. But do not harm the oil and the wine." So, notice it's God's bodyguards command this. It's not the government. It's not the Antichrist. No, it's one of these four awesome beings that surround the throne of God is the one who does this. They're the ones who initiate this. So, the third rider represents famine. Now, a denarius, back in the day, was a day's wage. A loaf of bread for what you earn in a day. How much do you make in a day? How much do you earn in a day? Remember, as I preached before here at this church, let me say it to you guys out here today, and that is in desperate times, people will do desperate things. So this third rider initiates famine. But remember, this plan is carried out from heaven. That this is all supernatural beings that orchestrate and bring about the things that happen on the earth during the tribulation. Angels do it all. They are responsible for all of the events here. But think about it. A loaf of bread, a day's wage for a loaf of bread. Famine. We read in Revelation chapter 11, when we get there in a couple weeks, when we see there's two witnesses here on the earth, the Bible says that no rain falls during the days of their prophecy. How long is that? That's 1,260 days, 3.5 years of no rain. In desperate times, people will do desperate things. 2 Kings chapter 6, it says, "And there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver." All right, 80 shekels of silver is the equivalent of $176. And the dove poo, $10. $176 for a donkey's head back in that day. Then, this is verse 26, I'm in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 26. "Then, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, 'Help, my lord, O king.' And he said, 'If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press?' Then the king said to her, 'What is troubling you?' And she answered, 'This woman said to me, Give your son so that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and ate him.' And I said to her on the next day, 'Give your son so that we can eat him.' But she's hidden her son. Now it happened when the king heard the words of this woman that he tore his clothes. That's 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 25 through 29. I want you to see what people do during desperate times, friend. In desperate times, people will do desperate things. $176 for a donkey's head, $10 for a little bit of poo from a bird. In desperate times, people will do desperate things. Even Satan says the same thing about you and I when he says, skin for skin, he said to God about Job. He said, all that a man has, he will give for his life. That's what Satan thinks about you and me until we prove him wrong. But what would you do if this happens? If you're on the earth during this time of famine here that this third rider brings in, what'll you do? What'll you do with 3.5 years of no water? You see, God's got a plan. This is what we learned last time we went through the book of Revelation here on church. Here at church, when we studied this, when Jesus said, to all you overcomers out there, I will give to you some of the hidden manna to eat, which you know not of. Meaning, when you trust God, when you are going through adversity and a trial, or if you find yourself here on the earth during this time, because nowhere does my Bible says that he's not talking to you. Like he said to Peter, what I say to you, I say to everyone. There's no escape clause yet here. For all members of Overcomers Anonymous, Jesus said, I will give to you some of the hidden manna. You see, God's got a storeroom of manna saved up for everyone who will trust him, everyone who will say no to the Antichrist, everyone who will say no to the government's plan at the end of the age in order to buy or sell. We're going to get to that when we get to chapter 13. You see, the last government at this time is going to have a plan for you to eat and for you to drink. But Jesus says that he has a supernatural plan for everyone that'll trust him and say no. You see, this is why the book calls you blessed. This is why it calls you blessed if you take to heart and read these things, you see. This is why the book calls you blessed if you don't take the mark of the beast. This is why the book calls you blessed if you don't use the government's and take the government's plan in order to buy or sell, but take Jesus's plan, and that is to be an overcomer. He will give you food and water to drink when you trust him. When you're going through adversity, or if you find yourself, or if your children find yourself alive here on the earth during this time of drought and famine, 1,260 days on the Hebrew calendar is 3.5 years, just like it was in Elijah's time. When we read that Elijah was a man, James wrote, Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain on the earth for 3.5 years. What happened then to the day is going to happen again to the day here coming up. And all of the overcomers will overcome, all those who trust Jesus Christ, all those who wait on him, who trust in him, and don't listen to the government's plan at the end of the age in order to survive. I encourage you, follow Jesus's plan to survive. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, and that you don't love your life to the end. We read in chapter 12, God's plan on how to overcome. The blood of the Lamb, that is, remember, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. That is, having your sins obliterated by the blood and having your name written in the Lamb's book of life. You overcome evil and this evil world and the devil by having your sins obliterated by the blood of God's Son. You overcome this evil age and this drought by the word of your testimony, that is your left hand down, just like you're being sworn in court, your left hand on your Bible, your right hand up, and you proclaim with me, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord, and I receive him today. That's how we do baptisms here at this church. That's Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. And you overcome by not loving your lives to the end. That is, loving Jesus more than you love yourself. See, now I know that last one. We're works in progress, friend. God's still working on us with that. Because this world is like a leech and the things in this world. This is why it says do not love the world or the things that are in the world. Because there's like a leech. They get attached to us and they suck the blood out of us, you see. But let me encourage you today that this is why God makes your life difficult today. So that you will be able to overcome these things like this. This is why the Bible says in more than one place, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. That's James chapter 1, verse 2. We also can read about in Romans chapter 5. Let me read that to you as well. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, this is Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only that, but we also glory, that's spelled G-L-O-R-Y, by the way, in case you were wondering. We glory in tribulations. Knowing that, meaning there's a reason for that. It's not no pain, no gain. We're gluttons for punishment. There's a spiritual reason behind this because God's doing a great work behind the scenes. Listen to what the apostle says. He says, we glory. That word, kalkema, also means to boast. We glory in tribulations. Knowing that, tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, approved character. And approved character, hope. Look at the chain reaction of what happens behind the scenes. Count it all joy. Or consider, the NIV says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith. Now, the old NIV says, develops. I love that word. It's like, picture yourself here today. It's like you're in God's dark room, you see. This is why he says to rejoice when this happens, because God is developing in you what you need to endure all kinds of trials and trouble in your life. But the testing of your faith develops. Now, we're in God's dark room. And it's important to remember here today. If you take anything with me here today, anything with you today on this Thursday, take this. Don't turn the light on when you're in God's dark room. Because God is doing a work on you behind the scenes to transform you into a spiritual giant, just like he did with David. When David faced Goliath earlier in that chapter, David told us that God, through him, helped him to kill a lion and a bear. And once that happened, once God came through for him and helped him overcome that life-threatening adversity, then, you see, someone 9'6" was small to him. It was small because God revealed him. God came through in David's life as faithful. And he will do the same thing for you as well. This is why Paul said, I glory in tribulations because I know that God is at work behind the scenes, transforming me into a spiritual giant, and he's doing the same thing with you. Let me encourage you today, don't turn the light on if you find yourself today in God's dark room. But wait on him. Wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Wait on the Lord. That's Psalm 27 as well. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Psalm 27, he says it twice. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Friend, I promise you today that God is at work on you behind the scenes, transforming you into a spiritual giant. And that comes through you abiding under the hand of God. That's what that word hupomeno means, translated as patience or endurance. Abide under the hand of God. I think that's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. And that is, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Trust in God when you're going through adversity. Wait on him, and then you can be and me. I'm right there with you. I need this as well. I haven't always gloried and counted it as pure joy when I encounter various trials. And the next time I find myself in one of these, I'm going to remember. And I pray that you would too, that God is at work behind the scenes, working. We're works in progress. We're at a time. We'll pick it up here again tomorrow. Friday's program, again, we'll look at these last two riders here in this Revelation chapter 6. You are listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I believe in God the Father.
Nowhere in the New Testament do I find that Christians are to expect to be easy, popular, comfortable, and successful in the eyes of this age.
Billy Graham.
When you become a Christian in certain parts of the world today, it means that you're thrown out from your family and home and friends. It means that you become a spectacle of the world.
But that's not typically the case in our part of the world.
I'm afraid that we in the church are making a great mistake by trying to make Christianity popular and pleasant. But we have not seen a genuine, deep spiritual revival that marks Christians who are separated from the world and separated unto God. He invited us not to a picnic, but to a pilgrimage.
We can help you prepare for that journey. Go to findpeacewithgod.net and click on Grow in Your Christian Faith. That's findpeacewithgod.net. It's from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.